93.5, 95.3 Kinect FM.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mondays and Fridays, we are blessed to have two of the smartest guys I know. Brother Johnny, Hall of Famer, National Academy of Sciences, Houston, Texas this morning. Johnny!
Over here in New Orleans, Louisiana TV.
Okay, 50-50, missed again. And Mike Ditka in Chicago. Coach, how are you?
Doing good, guys. Doing good.
Great to have both of you on. And again, always a pleasure because of the great wisdom that emanates from the radio. Always, always a pleasure. Okay, glad you're in Chicago, Mike. This is happening. NATO this weekend in Chicago, the big meetings.
We're very excited to have NATO in the city. It's our showtime.
The streets are abuzz, and everybody in the hotel is ready, really bringing their A game.
No tar sands, no pipelines.
One planet, one fight.
No blood for oil. No blood for oil.
NATO fights are for oil. Canada is a member of NATO and G8. And we are here today to demonstrate to the public that war, death and blood for oil is dirty business.
Fighter jets over Chicago, closed sections of airports, streets and business. NATO in Chicago. Can the government shut down a city under the auspices of security, Johnny?
Well, sure. They pretty much shut. I don't know. Michael has to. He's got the inside scoop. But Mike, I was planning to come find you up there. I was going to have dinner with you. But I don't think we're going to come. You know, we can't get into Midway, O'Hare, or Palwaukee. Closed to general aviation. And I don't know what roads are open. We could go. I guess you could drive in. I don't know. I don't know. What's it like up there, Mike?
Well, right now I'm downtown, so it's not like anything. I'm flying out of Palwaukee to Detroit at 2 o'clock this afternoon, and I'm going to fly back in tonight at 10.
Is that a commercial flight?
No. It's a private plane. I'm taking a private
plane. See, well, we were scheduled for Saturday, and they closed them all tomorrow.
Well, I would say that Saturday's probably a little bit different. But I think a lot of this, too, I think it's a lot of these people, where they get these ideas is some of it's from the media guys. I mean, it gets crazy. So far, when I looked around, I was driving up. I came up to kind of the city yesterday, coming back from getting a shot at the doctors, and I could see some people there who didn't belong here. You know what I mean? I know what they were. You know, there wasn't racial profiling. I knew who they were. They were these protesters with the long hair. And I seen the same thing in the 60s, guys. They're professional protesters. You know, yeah, now they're getting smarter because somebody's telling them what they're protesting about. Now all of a sudden they come up with, we don't like this. Big oil's no good. Come on, wake up, guys. You know, get a job. I mean, these people are lazy. And I was talking to one of our Chicago police the last night. And this is no fun for these guys, believe me.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't know, it is a job. I think they're definitely professionals. Someone's paying them to move around, and we've seen them down here, and we've seen them in Chicago, and we've seen them in New York. I'll tell you, too, I don't know, is it worth having the NATO summit in? I mean, they couldn't get the Olympics, but I don't know if the NATO summit is quite
right.
the same thing.
Well,
because
guys, Chicago's a great city. I mean, these people are going to see something. We have great restaurants. It's a great city. It's a clean city. For the most part, it's a pretty safe city. But, you know, when you have something like this and you bring in the outsiders who are the protesters, and, you know, it can get very ugly, and it can get ugly in a hurry. And I really hope that there's zero tolerance by our police and our security people. Zero tolerance.
Well, they're gonna want to make noise, Mike. They're gonna want to have altercations because that'll make the headlines. There's no question about that.
Well, the altercation would be very quick, man. It would be top of the head and thrown in jail. That was it.
Well,
none of that stuff. Just take care of it. Take care of business. Get them in jail. Get them off the streets.
Well, and of course, my comment is if you're really having an event where you really think you need to close airports, even just on a Saturday and maybe a Sunday morning, I don't know, is that worth the risk to the city if there's something that bad could happen? Because I don't know what they're afraid of when they start doing that in all three pretty major airports. So, and then I don't know, is it worth closing some of the, like, is Lakeshore Drive closed, Mike, or is it closed?
Well, evidently parts of it will be closed. I mean, I came down at 2 days ago from Ralph, and it's the signs are up. Well, this will be closed.
Okay.
Now, not all of it, but some of it. I think the problem is you're going to get on some of these roads, and then you're going to have to get off of them. You're not going to know where to get to where you're trying to go.
Right.
Yeah. Get off of them, you know?
No, there's all kinds of warnings that say if you're not tolerant of traffic, don't come around Chicago. They're talking about hour, 2 hour waits.
And we have a lot of people right now who have left the city. I know that. I was going to leave the city, actually, tomorrow and go up to Los Angeles and play golf for a couple of days. But the guys I were going to do it with couldn't go, so I'll stay here. But like I said, I'm going to be out of the city today and come back late tonight, and then in the morning I'm going to be in the suburbs. I mean, I'm going to
If your restaurant's open, I think you'll be busy because they'll be.
No, I don't know about that, John. It wasn't busy last night. You understand that we canceled six private parties. We had six private parties cancel in our restaurant because they were afraid of this stuff. It does nothing for business. You know, contrary, you know, you would think it would help business, but it really, I don't think it's going to help business. I think a lot of the downtown area is going to be kind of not a good place to be. Because there's not going to be anything going on there.
You get some publicity. But one of the things they were showing were some store owners boarding up their windows because they're afraid the protests are going
to. John, the other thing is what we've had to do is we've had to put that film over all our windows outside. You know that so what will happen if somebody breaks a window? Heaven forbid they do that, it won't shatter. You know, they put that plastic film over.
I'll be darned.
And they've done it everywhere. I mean. Starbucks is right across the street from our restaurant. They've done it. And evidently, don't ask me why, but Starbucks evidently is a big target for something. Who knows? Somebody's always say, this guy, Ditka, he's a conservative. Let's go bust out his windows or something, you know. And they can do that, you know.
See, I would have to say, and I don't know all the ins and outs, and Chicago will get publicity, but like, Mike's pointing out, I don't know what it's worth if you can't go.
It's not worth anything. It really isn't.
Every single person who's attending this summit is flying in on a private jet, so they could have it in Iceland. It's not like a big Olympics where you want the general public to have access to a great city like Chicago. You need to get in and out of the city that the event is at, but this is a different kind of event where I think the security outweighs the security requirements, because there are 28 heads of state. They may outweigh the benefits, but it's interesting, and we'll hear a lot about Chicago. I hope it goes well up there. I'll tell you, I think the Chicago law enforcement security people can handle it, because they do a good job with this type of thing.
Well, we hope so. We hope there's no injuries. A lot of it's fueled by the media, and they gloom and doom, but still, you got to be careful. These people don't belong here. They aren't here any other time of the year. They're here to protest. Now, what they're protesting, they're protesting life. They're protesting you being richer than me. Whatever they want. There's a reason for anything they say. You know, if they don't have a car, they protest oil.
Steve's right, too. They kind of want to get beat up on TV. That's really
news,
but we'll take a rain check on dinner, Mike. Maybe we'll call up next weekend or something.
That'd be awesome. Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, 93.5, 95.3 Connect FM. Johnny, if you were talking to this person, how would you respond?
NATO fights are for oil. Canada is a member of NATO and G8, and we are here today to demonstrate to the public that war, death, and blood for oil is dirty business.
Okay, you talk to her, Johnny.
I don't know what she's talking about, Steve. Okay, so you need energy, and there have been skirmishes over oil. I don't believe that the entire geopolitical global scene is completely oil-based, but actually these protests that keep us from running a pipeline from Canada through the United States is one thing that helps possibly lay the groundwork for more violence for oil, because that's a peaceful way for us to get our energy. And we've had issues because we're so dependent on other parts of the world for our oil. So don't know if she's putting two together, Mike, there. Don't know.
She's not.
Going.
What's happened is somebody is telling her what to say, and she's saying it. She could care less or no more any more about this. It's the most absurd thing I've ever heard. But I mean, it is what it is. So, and these poor people, you look at their, what are they now? They're 21 years old, and they've had all this experience in life, and they're tired of big oil companies. Well, you know, get out of here.
Yeah.
I mean, stop it. It's crazy.
Well, I don't think there's a grasp. I think there's this kind of idealistic like to live in a treehouse, which actually would be great. But there's 7 billion people on the planet, and we need energy at this point. We're highly dependent on survival in many places to somehow stay warm and keep things moving so we can deliver food. I don't know if they understand the whole logistical picture here. So. They're just kind of picking out one thing and painting a very bad picture of it without a true understanding of...
Absolutely. There's no question about that.
All right.
I mean, and if it wasn't oil, it would be something else.
Something else.
If it wasn't something else, they'd find these things. That's all.
All right. A report yesterday. This is just regarding the president, Barack Obama. A report yesterday that says that up until 2007, the president's literary agent at the time, from 1991 to 2007, published the following biograph about the president. It says, Barack Obama, the first African-American president of Harvard Law Review, born in Kenya, raised in Hawaii and Indonesia. How is it that this was missed by the media and not even discussed in 2008, Johnny?
Well, it was just, first of all, the story was he was born in Hawaii. They're sticking to it. I don't know where he was born. At this point, it doesn't matter. We get to vote again, and I'm not sure that that it's relevant at this point, other than the character of our system, the integrity of our system, did it really work, and maybe the double standard. You can point that out, but you don't need that to point that out. We've seen that with our media all too much. So, yeah, just another example of somewhat of a bias that we seem to see every day. So it's kind of in the past now, don't you think, Mike? Here's an election coming up. Do we like the guy? Not doesn't matter where he's born. He's president. And
guys, you hit right on the button. How can you worry about a guy that bullied somebody in 1965 and be all over the headlines with that and not have this on in the media? It's the media. It is a liberal left media that protects this stuff. And they really don't care because they seem to have gotten their way with the man they wanted elected, got elected. It's not too complicated. But then we go back and you find a thing on Romney in 1965, he bullied somebody in grade school. Hello? Stop it!
Yeah.
All right, so nothing changes here. I mean, it's the same kind of thing. And so it's certainly going to be a very rough and tumble campaign, I would think. It's going to be brutal, guys.
It's going to be brutal. There's going to be some real mudslinging. It's going to be very, very brutal. I mean, these two guys are going to—they're going to get their fill. I mean, you know, it's the same thing. If you want to go back and take excerpts of Obama's book and look at what he said, and my God, if you can have—I mean, if you're going to buy into what he said is right, and you're going to have him run your country, you got to be a little bit nuts.
I don't think he's going to make it right now. I just think there's just too many areas where he's slipped. I think he's kind of coming around much more in tune with what he believes. This campaign, he's showing up a little more liberal. When he ran earlier, the first time, he seemed more moderate and played to that kind of middle America and looked great. We didn't know anything about him. And I don't think he's gained anything, and I think he's slipping in all categories. Long way to go. He can change his campaign strategy, but right now, Stevie, I don't think he's gonna. I don't think he's got a chance. Mm. I mean, that's all I'm going to tell you.
He cannot continue
with appealing to his ultra-left support, which he's going to get anyway, and giving up the middle. It just doesn't work. But he certainly has time to tack back, doesn't he?
He could tack toward the middle and still have time.
Absolutely. No question about it.
Yeah,
but he doesn't seem to be doing it.
Well, again, I think I told you guys a month ago, I'd come out and say, we're going to build a pipeline and just wink at the left and change your mind November 10. That's all.
Well, I mean, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Right now, he's hanging right far left, and I don't see the support for him where he needs it. He'll get his voters, but those independents and those kind of moderate Democrats, I don't think he's going to get that support across that political spectrum. And you look at Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, maybe even New Jersey, Steve, I think he's going to have to fight for those states. And he loses one of those, and he's in trouble.
Well,
we'll see, Mike. They're all playing their strategy boards. And maybe these guys have a plan, but I don't see the Democratic strategy as being a very good one.
The only thing, really, that can save, and I believe that if he is reelected, because most people, John, this is a big world. I've been all over this place. I mean, I was somewhere yesterday downtown speaking to a group of doctors from all over the country, and a lot of people just don't care. I mean, I drive everywhere. I mean, I'm to airport. There are a lot of people. And when you stop and really try to put it together and say, who really cares about Washington? You know, what we have in Washington is a problem anyways on both sides, because we have professional politicians. Now, you finally got Lugar out of there. I mean, this guy was making a living out of being in Washington. Come on. I mean, my God, you go to serve the people that elect you. You don't go to serve your party, or you don't go to serve your special interests. But this, everybody's losing that. We miss it. We have missed it, really, what the Democratic system is all about.
All right, Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM, 10 till 5 more minutes. Jonathan Vilma suing Roger Goodell, the former the Saints linebacker, suing the commissioner.
Well, that would be interesting. I mean, I don't know what it's going to entail, and I don't know, what the law says or anything else, but, I guess you've got a right to sue anybody you want to, I think the only thing you got to be careful about, even if you're the league or the commissioner, you got to be careful you don't lump everybody into one category and maybe make a claim to say somebody who have said something who really didn't say anything. So, and I mean, I don't know. The guy seems pretty adamant about the fact that he had nothing to do with it. But then again, I don't think you're going to go anywhere with the lawsuit.
I think he's wasting time, too. I mean, it may not be fair, but you can dig a hole deeper and deeper. He was suspended for, I can't remember his suspension. Was it the whole year, Steve?
Yeah, he's out the year.
He's got nothing else to do, I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't think he can get anywhere. The commissioner, it's a private league, and the owners have given the commissioner total authority, and I don't know what he's going to get out of suing the commissioner.
All right, Facebook is going public IPO today, $38 a share. They're going to raise $16 billion, Johnny, worth $100 billion now. Facebook today going their IPO, $38 a share.
You
lining up?
Are you buying in?
I'm not, Mike. Are you?
I talked to my girl about it, and she said I don't think it's a real good idea right now, and. She said, but I think, first of all, it's not going to go up to 38, you know that. You know, people are going to be buying this over a period of time. It's going to go up and up and up. And then after, maybe it falls down and maybe some. But, I mean, what do they need the 100 and some billion for anyways that they're raising? I don't understand it.
They're worth
They're going to raise $16 billion, and it's going to be worth $100 billion.
Yeah, I know. I understand. But what do they need to raise $16 billion
for? I don't know.
That's the whole key to this. So I think it's, I don't know. I don't use Facebook. I know people are on it. You know, we're trying to put something together now that's similar to it, but, with sports. But I'm just saying, I'm not involved in it, so I'm really stupid about this stuff.
Well, the investors who own the Facebook stock are going to make money. They're just going to go buy sports team after this.
Yeah.
Now, that some of the shares might be owned by the company so that they could raise capital, but I don't know what they're probably just cashing in, really.
Well, one of the owners has denounced his citizenship, and Chuck Schumer and some others in Washington said they want to put a law in that says if you denounce your citizenship, you got to pay 30%. He's trying to avoid the $67 million in taxes by denouncing his citizenship ahead of this IPO.
He originally from another country.
I think he's from Russia or something.
And then he came and got American citizenship, and then he went back to save taxes, which what are you going to do? I think Schumer, again, needs to stay out of it, and I think he's coming out behind. We talk about America all the time and this side and that side, but I wouldn't denounce my American citizenship for anything. So, I was you know Shad Khan that bought the Jacksonville Jaguars, and he's an American citizen.
Yeah,
and he could go back to his home country, come out way ahead in taxes. And he told his accountants, we were talking at lunch one day, He says, I don't want to hear about this. I'd rather live in a tent with my American passport than go anywhere else in the world.
Wow, that's awesome.
And so we'll just pay what, you know, what we owe.
I like that guy a lot more, John, than I heard that. Since I heard that, I really
do. And it's true, he's and he's a great guy. And so, I agree with him. Yeah. I agree with him.
All right.
Because we've seen the tents in the other countries, Steve, and I'd rather be in a tent right here, even if it is with the Occupy boys. You just have to watch your back.
All right, last thing, 7:54. Erica Harrell will be up talking to me. She might be a candidate for Congress. 32-year-old African-American, former Miss America, Harvard Law, just a fabulous, fabulous young lady. The chairman of the Republican parties in 14 counties decide in the morning whether Erica Harrell runs for Congress, and wouldn't that be a wonderful, fresh face in our walls of Congress?
Well, she'd be a great congresswoman for us, too, Steve. That's the kind of person we need up there. So hopefully. She'll be tapped.
Yep.
Somebody in Washington with a legitimate degree from Harvard Law School.
This girl's smart. She's honest, and she can represent
Mike,
us.
She's got integrity that just overflows.
That's what I'm saying. She'll probably make a good representative of the people, but she'll never make a great politician.
You know what? And Nancy Pelosi is said to really be targeting this, particularly if she's chosen to run against the Democrat, Dr. David Gill, because they don't want a 32-year-old woman who happens to be African-American in the halls of Congress as a Republican. That'd be really bad for them, so they're trying to put their foot on this early.
Well, she'll win if they pick her. She will win.
I agree.
So,
no question.
So,
hey, guys,
Nancy's not going to have any say.
She's going to try. The word is she's really going to go after this.
Well, okay. She's not going to have her way. Not in this man's army, Stevie.
Mike, Johnny, listen, appreciate
it.
We'll leave
it
there.
Take care.
Call you Monday.
Hey, hold the fort down up there, Mike. Yeah. Watch out. Watch for those protesters.